Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally on 29 AM and FM radio stations 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries worldwide on the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit my webpage at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events, so stay tuned for tonight's special report on making money with hard money. Back in 1787, the writers of our Constitution put in this clause at Article 1, Section 10. It says, "No state shall make anything but gold or silver coin a tender in payment of debt." That clause follows the biblical injunction on just weights and balances that we see in Leviticus 19, verses 35 and 36. Private business is carried on in gold and silver coin. Public business is conducted in commercial paper like stocks, bonds, Federal Reserve notes, credit cards, debt, and usury. Well, back in 1965, Congress said that there is no difference in the value of gold and silver coin and clad coin or currency. Well, that's very true when you're dealing with banks, government, and commercial industries. But out here in the real marketplace, there's a 7-to-1 difference in purchasing power of gold over paper, and a 7-to-1 difference in the taxes due on the paper over gold. Now, God and our founding fathers did not give us gold and silver coin for no good purpose. They knew that as a matter of law, gold and silver coin was absolutely necessary for us to deal in order for us to establish our property rights. Well, neither did our Congress and politicians take our gold and silver coin away from us for no good reason either. They knew, and they knew full well back in 1933, that in order to subjugate a free people, they would first have to take away their gold and silver coin to take away the people's right to property and destroy their property rights. Now, if you and I intend to regain our rights, duties, and capacities, then we must first regain our property and property rights, and that's because property is the legal foundation of all of our liberties. Now, let me teach you how to do just that. My business school is now on compact disc for adult homeschoolers. For more information about my private business school, why don't you call and order my free general law CD package first? That's a 4-hour commentary on the law in general. It's informative, it's entertaining, it's educational. Best of all, it's free of charge, and you can call and order yours right now. The number's 417-273-4967. Remember, the business school is also available on compact disc for adult home study. And if you're online, you can go to the website georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email machine and send me an email request for that free general law CD package. Again, that's georgegordon.org, or call direct 417-273-4967. Well, the other day I got a letter from Franklin Sanders at the money changer. He said, "Dear George, I've been asleep at the switch here because a call from one of your listeners woke me up today. Late in May, I finished my silver trading manual, Why Silver Will Outperform Gold by 400%. When I sent out review copies, I forgot about you, so I apologize and I'm making good for that lapse by sending you a copy now." So I got a copy of a book, a manual. Actually, it's a gold and silver trading manual for investors in gold and silver. And one of the first things the people tell me is that gold and silver doesn't make any money. It just lays there. It doesn't make any interest. Well, interest is against the law. Muslims around the world do business, and they don't do business by practicing usury and interest, and it's prohibited in the scripture. Christians, of course, don't follow the scripture. They practice something else. But if they did practice the scripture, they wouldn't be practicing usury and interest, because it's strictly prohibited. The word usury appears in the Bible 23 times. 23 times. If you charge interest, you're an accessory before and after the fact, and if you pay interest, you're in direct violation of the statute. So how do you do business without usury and interest? Banks charge interest. Your credit card companies charge interest. They seem to make money. And then there's this thing of hard money versus soft money. What's that all about? Well, back in 1913, we Americans decided that we would embark upon a bold new experiment. We had gold and silver coin, and we decided that what we wanted was more soft money. There's an allure to soft money. There's a reason for soft money. Easy money, it's commonly called in the trade. So people like folding money, easy money, soft money. They like to invest. They like stocks, bonds, negotiable instruments, mortgages. They like to pay interest. Now, why is that? Well, because there's profit to be made. Profit. And it's the profit motive that drives business. It's the profit motive that drives you and me. We want to make more money. It's not that we really want the money, it's the things that money can buy, and that's what everybody's after. You want a new car. You see somebody else driving a new car or living in a bigger, better house than you do, and you say, well, gosh, I want one of those. Now, there's two ways to do that. We can go out and we can go to work, and by the sweat on our face, we can dig gold and silver out of the ground. That's the way God ordered it and ordained it. But that's not pleasant. We don't like that. It's so much easier to print this stuff up. I mean, I could sit here with a 3x5 card and a pen and start writing up commercial paper. I could start lending. I don't need Federal Reserve notes to lend. That's somebody else's money. I can create my own money. And, of course, between 1787 and about 1913, there were 7,000 banks in America that just created their own money and put it out into circulation. These were called state banks. And then we had a United States National Bank created back in 1796. Well, that paper money has some side effects. It's kind of like taking drugs. Drugs may alleviate your pain and suffering, but they also have what we call side effects. There's a side effect that comes from soft money. Inflation's one of them. Recession and depression is a couple more. And of course, there's default, foreclosure, loss, and poverty. Those are all side effects that come from paper money. Well, Franklin Sanders wrote a unique book. It's a manual on how to buy, sell, and trade gold and silver and make a profit on it without usury and interest. It's unique because it's scriptural. And that's what drew me to it. He sent it to me, and normally when people send you a book, they want to promote it and sell it. And I don't promote and sell people's books. I don't promote and sell my own very often, but this one is so unique because it's scriptural, and it's very seldom that somebody will write a book that actually fits in with the scripture and follows scriptural law, although there's no scripture written in the book. He didn't intend to do that, at least I don't think he did. But when I read the book, I got pretty excited. I said, gosh, this is a manual on how to buy and sell gold and silver and make money at it, actually make profit on the gold and silver that you have lying there idly, drawing no interest. How do you do that? Well, it's a process called arbitrage. I'm going to give you some examples from the book. If you want a copy of the book, it's $54, $49 for the book and $5 for shipping and handling. I'll give you the name and address as we progress along. I've suggested to my listeners over the years that they subscribe to two money or economic newsletters. One is Franklin Sanders Money Changer, and the second is The Privateer, published out in Australia. You've probably heard me suggest from time to time that these are two publications that actually have some real merit. Now, that's not to say that other newsletters don't. I receive probably 10 or 15 newsletters here at the news desk, but I don't often recommend them because there's a limit to how many you can buy. And I think that those two are more than adequate, probably better than most, equal to all and better than most. So let's take a look at the word that I just used called arbitrage. What is it? And how can you make arbitrage work for you? And why would you want to? Well, Franklin starts off by saying that most of the trades that I'll talk about in this book are called arbitrage trades. Some are simultaneous, some take a little more time, and most take advantage of a very simple concept. And that is that 1 ounce of silver is an ounce of silver. And there is no rational reason that a 1 ounce American Eagle silver coin minted by the United States Mint should cost more than 1 ounce of silver that's privately minted. But yet it does. Now, rationally, the silver in a U.S. 90% silver coin ought to be valued at the price of spot silver. But sometimes it's valued much higher, or in some cases much lower than the spot price of silver. All right, now that's concept number one. Now, a simple second concept says that over time, things even out. Over time, premium always disappears. Now, over the past 30 years, I have seen this principle revenged many times in silver and gold coin. The gold Canadian maple leaf, for example, was issued in the late 1970s with a premium of 15%, far more expensive than the then most popular Krugerrand at 7%. By 1982, the maple leaf was selling at a discount to its gold value. Today, thanks to the cartel enforced by the Canadian Mint, the maple leaf again sells at a 6% premium. But time will eat that away also. Now, here's where arbitrage comes in. The dictionary defines arbitrage as buying bills of exchange, stocks, etc. in one market, and then selling them again at a higher price in another market. Now, that bare-bones definition, at least, gives us a place to start, but it leaves out quite a bit. Usually, arbitrage is thought of as buying and selling simultaneously in two different markets to take advantage of small temporary price differentials. Now, I mentioned premium. Well, premium is the amount by which a silver or gold item exceeds the market value of the metal that it contains. So likewise, a discount is the amount by which the item falls short of the market value of the metal that it contains. Sometimes people wax bureaucratic and they talk about negative premiums, but they mean a discount. And also, if something is selling at 94% of its melt value, what that means is that it's selling at a discount to its metal value. If it sells at any price more than 100% of its metal content, that overage is called a premium. For instance, a coin selling for 104% of its melt value is selling at a 4% premium. So keep in mind that premiums and discounts are the amounts of money used in the marketplace, or the differentials that we use in the marketplace to promote people or to encourage people to buy. If it's a discount, then it's a sale. And if it's a premium, then it's the profit that we make for handling the product. Now imagine, for example, that silver on the New York Commodity Exchange is bringing 890 cents an ounce. But let's suppose that in Chicago, it's bringing 891 cents an ounce. Well, for that small difference, it's not worth buying 10 ounces in New York and then traveling all the way to Chicago to sell it. However, if you had 10 million ounces, that could make the difference worth $100,000. Now, that's pretty good pay for moving silver from New York to Chicago. Now, if the price differential exists simultaneously in two markets, then an investor only needs to lock in prices in these two markets in order to lock in his profit. So in this report, the silver trading that I'll discuss is sometimes done simultaneously and sometimes it's not. Now, when the trade is not simultaneously, we enter it because there is a great likelihood that time will bring the diverging prices back together. So what is it that causes this differential between Chicago and New York? Well, arbitrage trades need one more ingredient, and that is the differential must be passing, not lasting. Whatever it was that caused this price differential to emerge must be passing and essentially meaningless glitch in the price and not a lasting fundamental change in the price. For example, in the 1960s and 1970s, all sorts of odd weight silver bars were produced, such as 3 ounce, 5 ounce, 15.8 ounce, 101.65 ounces. And these bars traded freely and at no discount, nor did their smelter's stamp count for very much. Well, then in the early 1980s, the market began to standardize on even weight 100 ounce and 10 ounce bars produced by the commodity exchange and approved smelters such as Engelhardt, Johnson Matthey, or Credit Suisse. Then, as a result, the market began to discount these old odd weight bars. And that sent most of them into the smelter where the sellers could recapture that discount. They could buy the bars at, say, an 18 or 20 cent an ounce discount, then pay the transportation and the smelting costs and still realize a profit of a few cents an ounce, and they didn't have any risk. So if they bought 1,000 ounces of odd weight bars at 890 and then simultaneously sold a 1,000 ounce futures contract at 918, then they could lock in an 18 cent differential, which was plenty to pay their costs and then give them a tidy profit. That's arbitrage. Arbitrage, buying in one market and then selling in another to capture a small price differential. Well, in this case, if you had bought the discounted odd weight bars, trying to hold them until their discount disappeared, you would have made a mistake because they never did come back. The competition from approved smelters caused a lasting change in what the market was willing to pay. Now here's another example. In 2002, the TV marketers on QVC channel were promoting sets of silver American Eagle coins. The 1996 coin was very difficult to find without yellow spots, and that was caused by the mint. So the marketers began to bid up the price. So when the price rose to $13.50 a coin, which is about twice what the current year silver eagles cost, I notified my subscribers, and one of them had bought 4 sealed mint boxes of 500 coins each. Now he was able to swap his 1996s for the current issue coins and double the number of ounces that he held. So he had 2,000 ounces that he converted into 4,000 ounces. 2,000 ounces were marked 1996, and he traded those for 4,000 ounces that were marked 2001. He made a profit of 2,000 ounces on the price differential or the premium. Now, as it turned out, because of special circumstances, the price of the 1996 has continued to rise. But it might just as well have fallen when the passing cause, that is, the TV marketers with their special advertisements, was removed. Now, the price differential seemed to be a passing change, but in reality, it actually became a lasting change. Then, was the trade that he made a mistake? Not at all. You see, whenever you can double the number of ounces that you hold simply by swapping, it makes sense to do that. Unless, of course, you are swapping for something that's very illiquid. Now, here's another example. Take the U.S. $20 gold pieces. These $20 gold pieces commanded huge premiums over their gold content back in the late 1970s and early 1980s. Now, what was it that caused this huge overvaluation? Well, hundreds of coin sales companies, armed with telephone boiler rooms and hundreds of salesmen, that's what caused it. But as gold continued to fade through the 1980s, so did investor interest. More and more boiler room operations went under, taking with them this artificial demand for U.S. $20 gold pieces that had been created. So a coin that brought $800 in 1984 dollars might bring only $450 in 2004 dollars. The cause of the higher demand reflected in the premium was just a passing fad. And when the boiler rooms disappeared, so did that demand. Now let me pause here and explain something to you. Oftentimes people will call me on the phone and they'll say, "Well, Mr. Gordon, I have a 1894 San Francisco MS6061 or 62 $20 gold piece that I paid $3,000, $4,000, or $5,000 for. And I'd like to trade that to you." Well, now, boys and girls, let's learn a fundamental rule in gold and silver. And that is, the metal value in a $20 gold piece is 90%. That is, the coin weighs 1 ounce. But it doesn't contain 1 ounce of gold just because it's a gold coin. The $20 gold pieces actually contain 9/10 of an ounce of gold. Now let's compare that with the new 2004 $50 gold pieces. The new gold piece that has $50 marked on it has 1 ounce of gold in it. 1/10 of an ounce more than the old $20 double eagles. Now let's suppose that we're going to melt down these two gold coins. We have a brand new gold coin and we melt it down and we have a little blob of gold. And then we have this $20 double eagle that we melt down and we have a little blob of gold. And now we're going to take it in and we're going to sell it. And the spot price of gold is $400 an ounce. Well, for the $50 blob of gold, you're going to get $400. But for the 9/10 of an ounce of gold out of the $20 double eagle, you're going to get $360. 10% less. $40 less. Measured, of course, in fiat currency, which is the way that most people measure gold and silver. Now, when God created gold and silver and put it into the earth's crust, he put in 17.5 ounces of silver for every 1 ounce of gold. And the correct measurement in valuing the price of gold is 17.5 ounces of silver equals or will buy 1 ounce of gold, or 1 ounce of gold will buy or equals 17.5 ounces of silver. Now, of course, God didn't know what he was doing, and he didn't know what he was talking about, and so we have corrected his mistake. We created a Federal Reserve, printed paper dollars, called them dollars, and now we have taken weights and measures and converted those to values. It's a very subtle change, but it's a counterfeit. And that's why people can't make money with gold and silver, because they value it in fiat coin, fiat paper, fiat money. But if you value gold and silver in weights and measures instead of by value, there are great profits to be made off of those who violate the laws on usury and those who use fiat coin and don't use just weights and balances. Now, we'll talk a little more about fiat coin and fiat currency. We have what we call clad coin now in the United States. This is counterfeit money, but it's put out by the United States government. It's official counterfeit money. You see, we have two forms of counterfeit. You have amateur counterfeits, and then you have the official counterfeits. Real money is gold and silver. And when you coin it, we call it money. When it's not coined, it's just gold and silver. Now, arbitrage works over time. I wrote above that when the trade is not simultaneously, we enter it because there is a great likelihood that time will bring the diverging prices back together. The gold and silver ratio is the best example of that. What is the gold-silver ratio? Well, it's simply the price of gold stated in ounces of silver, or how many ounces of silver we need to buy 1 ounce of gold. Why would we be willing to swap silver for gold? And what constitutes the great likelihood that time will bring the diverging prices back together? Well, the answer to that is history, as we shall see. And over the course of the 20th century, the gold-silver ratio fluctuated from 100 to 1 to less than 16 to 1. You can see that in chart number 1, the gold-silver ratio from 1792 to 2003 and the yearly averages. However, those fluctuations weren't random. They form a pattern, with tops at 100 to 1 and bottoms at 16 to 1. Now, the pattern established is that in precious metals bull markets, silver rises faster than gold. Since that doesn't occur in a straight line, but in zigs and zags, we can take advantage of the primary trend, silver becoming more valuable than gold over a 25-year period, by simply swapping, that is, swapping the silver for gold, or swapping the gold into silver when silver is cheap in terms of gold, or from silver into gold when the gold is cheap in terms of silver. That's called arbitrage. Now, we could easily state it another way, because it is an exchange rate. If 1 ounce of gold costs 50 ounces of silver, that's a 50 to 1 ratio. Then that's the same as 1 ounce of silver costing 0.02 ounces of gold. Stating it the other way would also eliminate some of the confusion also. That comes from stating the ratio as ounces of silver needed to buy an ounce of gold. Stating it that way forces us to say that the ratio is dropping when the value of silver rises against gold. So, instinctively, we think that rising silver value ought to show in a rising ratio. But the ratio only rises if we state it as ounces of gold needed to buy 1 ounce of silver. Besides, the market is used to calling it the gold-silver ratio, and I'm not big enough or a big enough heavyweight to force them to change that. Now, the mistake that's being made by most people is that they value gold and silver in terms of dollars denominated in pieces of paper, rather than silver and gold denominated against one another. Hang on a minute. All right, you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. You know, under the terms of a contract called the Old Covenant, it was negotiated by Moses back at Mount Sinai. You and I are entitled to 33 articulable benefits. Benefits such as rain in due season, multiplied gold, silver, herds, flocks, and great wealth. Well, George Bush, back in 2000, during the election, said that what Americans want is jobs, jobs, jobs. But that's not what George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Ben Franklin, Moses, or God had in mind when they wrote our Constitution, Bill of Rights, and the Ten Commandments. All of these authorities recognized that real wealth is measured in land, cattle, property, gold, silver, wheat, corn, beans, honey, and oil. It's not measured in employment. It's not measured in jobs, jobs, jobs. And that's because there's no money in employment. The money is in private business. The money is in sales. It's not in public business or jobs, jobs, jobs. Now, it's time that you cashed in on your inheritance and learned how to collect those benefits of the Old Covenant contract and to collect them in gold, silver, wheat, corn, beans, honey, and oil. We call that property instead of credit, debt, usury, inflation, and worthless paper. Now, if you'd like to learn how to do just that, why don't you call for more information on my CD Homeschool for Adults, my business school. And step one is to get the free general law CD package. You can do that at the same time. It's a four-hour commentary on the law in general. It's informative, it's entertaining, it's educational, and best of all, it's free of charge. And you can call and order yours right now. The number is 417-273-4967. If you're online, just go to the website. It's georgegordon.org. Click onto the email, send an email request, and ask for that free general law CD package. Remember, that's georgegordon.org. Simple enough. Or you can call direct. That number again, 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about arbitrage. Arbitrage is buying and selling gold and silver. You could do it in platinum or any other metal if you wanted to, copper, steel. It's taking advantage of the differences in the prices in one market over another. It's either a discount or a premium. But there's another factor that comes into play here. You'll notice that we call it the ratio. The gold-silver ratio. Last night, preparing for today's program, we called Kitco. We brought it up on the web, and we found out that gold, right now, spot price, is $428. So if you take $428 and divide that by the spot price of silver, which was $7.39, you'll find that the ratio is 57.9 to 1. Now, in 1941, the ratio was 100 to 1. It took 100 ounces of silver to buy 1 ounce of gold. Today, it takes 58 ounces of silver to buy 1 ounce of gold. And that ratio changes every day. And over time, that ratio, which was just a few months ago, as high as 80 to 1. Now let's picture this for a minute. Let's suppose that you had a bunch of silver that you had bought at 80 to 1, and now the ratio is 60 to 1. Now, that means that it takes 25 fewer ounces of silver today to buy 1 ounce of gold than it did a few months ago, when it was 80 to 1. Now, assuming that a few months ago you were planning on doing this and you bought 80 ounces of silver, well, today, at 60 to 1, you would get 25% more gold for that silver, which means that you'd have a 25% profit. Can you see that? In other words, you make profit through arbitrage trading your gold and silver over the discounts and premiums over time, which occurs just as regular as clockwork. Now, until Franklin Sanders wrote this manual, those of us that have been buying and selling, when I hear somebody say to me that gold and silver doesn't make money, it just lays there with no interest, I've never contradicted anybody in the 20-some years that I've been in trades. Why should I? I don't have any duty. I don't have any cause or reason to correct people. People who make those kinds of statements have never bought an ounce of silver and wouldn't know what an ounce of gold looks like or where they could buy them. They're not interested in that. These are soft money advocates. I don't have any duty to protect a fool from his folly or to spread wisdom and justice. But when Franklin Sanders wrote this book, I read the manual and I said, well, my gosh, my goodness, this actually fits in with Leviticus 19:19, because those of us that follow the scriptures, those of us that practice the Ten Commandments and the statutes and judgments that God gave us at Mount Sinai, there's not very many of us, but the two or three of us that there are, find that they're very profitable. They're very advantageous. People that don't practice them, of course, have never noticed that they're advantageous or profitable because they've never tested. They don't have anything to measure it against. Now, Leviticus 19:19 tells us that we're not to have an unjust weight or balance in our bag, and we read the same thing in Deuteronomy 25:13 through 16, and it's repeated in the scriptures three or four other places. In Exodus 20, verse 15, we see the law, the basic law of property. It says, thou shalt not steal. Now, thou shalt not steal is the basic law that guarantees your right to property. Without that law, you don't have any property rights. Americans today do not practice thou shalt not steal. Americans are thieves. Of course, they're not alone. The Australians and New Zealanders and everybody else in the world are also thieves, stealing with unjust weights and balances. And the guys that steal the mostest are the guys that print the paper money. Let's just take a look at it. It costs 3 cents to print one of those $100 bills. 3 cents to print a $100 bill. With gold at 428 of those paper dollars per ounce, it takes four of those $100 bills, 3, 6, 9, 12, plus a 20, 15, plus a 5, 18, plus three ones, 21, 24, 27 cents to print up the bills to buy 1 ounce of gold. So the people that have the monopoly, the Federal Reserve Banks, that's a private corporation, for 27 cents can print up the several bills that they need to purchase 1 ounce of gold. Now that's pretty good money. That's pretty good profit. Because it still takes the same amount of labor to dig an ounce of gold out of the ground that it took when Adam and Eve were walking around in the Garden of Eden. Now, up on Wages Creek in Northern California, it takes about 1 day, 12 hours, to pan 1 ounce, to pan 1/20th of an ounce of gold out of the creek. 12 hours. Let's just figure that out for a minute. How many man hours does it take to produce an ounce of gold? When gold was $20 an ounce, it would take 12 hours times 20. So 12 times 20, 240 hours of labor to dig out 1 ounce of gold. Boy, that's a lot of work. And back in those days, you could either work at the lumber mill for a dollar a day, or you could go up there and work on the creek and make a dollar a day. So labor, then, is equal to gold. There's a ratio or a value. In fact, gold was called portable land. And an ounce of gold was worth about 1 acre of land. So land sold for $20 an acre. $20 an acre. Now, that's the marketplace. And depending upon how much gold and silver is available, and how much lumber is available, and how much labor is available, and so on, the marketplace, the free marketplace, tells us what the value of labor, gold, silver, lumber, wheat, corn, beans, honey, and oil is worth. And it varies. When there is a shortage of wheat, then it takes more gold to buy it. Well, along came the bankers and the goldsmiths, and they decided that, look, if we could get people to take paper money, we could control the economy for our own personal benefit. They could print up 27 cents worth of paper and buy wheat, corn, beans, honey, and oil with that paper, and you and I would be out there trading our labor for those pieces of paper instead of gold, silver, wheat, corn, beans, honey, and oil. And that's why we have an economy today. And that economy is controlled by the Federal Reserve. It doesn't have very much to do with you. Doesn't have very much input from you. You just take what you're told. And it moves up and down, and the government and the Federal Reserve regulate that economy. And so they tax us. And they tax us about anywhere from 17 to 75%, depending upon where you live and how much money you make and so on. Well, that doesn't strike me as being a very fair system. So years ago, I decided to go back to the biblical system of just weights and balances. And so I don't use Federal Reserve notes. I price my school in ounces of gold. My labor is tied to ounces of gold as opposed to being tied to Federal Reserve notes. It made me upset that somebody could buy my labor for 27 cents and the next guy would come along and buy my labor and he would pay me with gold coins. So I decided I wanted to get paid instead of discharged. Now, those of us that practice hard money are pretty well convinced of its merits and its benefits. Those of you who have never tested it, never tried it, don't have any basis by which to compare it. Paper money is all you know. And here's what they did. You see, back in 1913, the bankers got together and said, what we need is a national bank, a Federal Reserve Bank. So they went to Congress and they said, give us this Federal Reserve Bank. And Congress said, right on, and they gave it to them. So between 1914 and 1929, when the collapse came, this Federal Reserve Bank system put out a lot of paper dollars. And I remember as a boy, I could walk into Bank of America and put one of these paper dollars on the counter and ask for a silver dollar and get it. The Bank of America would give me one silver dollar. Or I could take the silver dollar in, put it on the counter, and they would give me one paper dollar. We called that folding money. 20 years before that, you could have taken a $20 bill into the bank and put it on the counter, and they would have given you one $20 double eagle gold coin, which actually contained 9/10 of an ounce of gold. Well, you could take that $20 bill in and get gold, or the gold in and get the $20 bill. They were fully exchangeable. And then something dramatic happened. Franklin Roosevelt, under House Joint Resolution 192, called in all the gold and said, well, we're not going to redeem that gold for paper anymore, and we're going to outlaw gold. They did. They took gold out. And then in 1965, Lyndon Johnson, it was Lyndon Johnson in 65 and Franklin Roosevelt in 33 that took our gold and silver away. Now, here's my point. Gold and silver should be based upon weights and measures. A just weight and a just ephah shall you have. But they converted us to value. Very subtle change. They converted us from weights and measures to value. You see, the natural price, the real price of silver and gold is 17.5 ounces of silver buys 1 ounce of gold. That's the correct ratio. Of course, you have to pay a little extra for both to have them smelted and mined, etc. That's where labor comes into the picture. But remember, the bankers now can buy all that gold and silver for 3 pennies, 3 copper coins on the dollar. They make a 97% profit on every one of those paper dollars that they put out into circulation. Cost 3 cents and you make 97 cents from it. Now that's a pretty good profit. Now people have been down on gold and silver because they went to public school, and the public schools are down on gold and silver, and they teach us what they want us to know. So they teach us banking and income tax. Income tax. How much profit is there in that? Banking. Have you taken a look at your banking statement and look at the charges that they put on you every month? It costs you money to do business at the bank. They're not doing that for free. Now, Franklin Sanders goes on to say this. He says, "I'll be first in line to confess that history does not guarantee to repeat itself just because silver rose to a 16-to-1 ratio 3 times in the 20th century. Doesn't mean that it necessarily must drop to 16-to-1 again. However, that performance does offer strong evidence that some relationship exists between gold and silver that draws their ratio between those extremes. And the greatest danger to our gold-silver ratio trading strategy, then, is that history might simply have randomly landed on those numbers in times past. I reject that conclusion simply because people make history and people tend to walk the path of habit, even people separated by many decades and continents and oceans." Now, another example of arbitrage over time is found in the way that U.S. 90% silver coin behaves. One major impetus to silver investing was the U.S. government's decision to remove silver from its coinage as of 1965. From 1965 through the late 1980s, U.S. 90% silver coin was the public's favorite way to buy silver. And silver coin usually carried a premium. In the mid-1980s, that premium ranged from 20 to 40%. The 1980s and 1990s brought hard times for coin dealers as investors lost interest in metals because of their continuing decline in value. In 1985, the U.S. government decided to mint the Silver Liberty Coin, colloquially known as the Silver American Eagle. It's a 1 troy ounce pure silver coin. It weighs 480 grains. The few people who were still buying coins bought the Silver American Eagles, even though they had a huge premium, 30% premium. That means that it cost 30% more to buy it than the silver content. U.S. 90% silver coins suffered as cash-strapped dealers sold them out of inventory to raise cash. And also, public attention had shifted to the Silver American Eagles, even though they were a terrible buy. Then the Y2K threat changed all of that. The vast crowd of investors pressing into silver and gold wanted nothing but the more liquid and divisible 90% coin. The premium on 90% coin climbed to 40% over its silver content, so at that point, it no longer made sense to buy 90% coin. The premium was simply too high. Next time the public comes pressing into silver, they will likely rediscover U.S. 90% silver coin. It is, after all, the most divisible, most flexible, most liquid, and it's the most easily verifiable form of silver. Presently, late spring 2004, it offers the cheapest way to invest in physical silver, but that's going to change. At some point, 90% will again acquire a large premium. And when it does, and because we know that eventually premium always disappears, we will then swap the 90% silver coin for 100-ounce silver bars, or 1-ounce silver rounds, or whatever other form of silver or gold offers us the largest gain in net ounces of profit. Notice that we're not looking for dollars of profit. We're looking for a net gain in ounces of profit. You shall not have an unjust weight or balance in your bag. So real profit is measured in trading 2,000 ounces for 4,000 ounces. Now, when people call me and they tell me that they have paid some of these huge premiums, I sympathize with them. Now, sympathy is one thing, but business is something else. Business is business, and BS is BS. Nothing more, nothing less. So let me emphasize that there are some basic rules that we have to follow in what we call physicals. Physicals. That is, we actually learn how to take care of our own money. Most Americans do not know how to handle money. I'll repeat that. Most Americans, I mean Americans up around 80-90% of our population, simply cannot handle money. They don't know how. They've never been taught. The bank handles their money for them. The bank counts their money for them. Oh, they get a bank statement every month and they verify the bank's numbers. And sometimes they want to argue and fight with the bank's numbers. But when it gets right down to the nitty-gritty, can Americans handle money? The answer is no, they cannot. If they could, they would. As evidenced by the massive debt of most Americans and their inability to handle credit card debt. Their paying of interest and usury is a physical demonstration that they cannot manage money and cannot figure premiums and don't know or understand that interest grows by geometric progression. Americans don't understand the difference between arithmetic and geometric, and furthermore, they don't care. And that's why they don't deal in physicals. They don't deal in gold. They don't deal in silver. They will sometimes deal in futures, contracts. They will deal in stocks and bonds. And they buy and sell soft money. But when it gets right down to being able to deal, count money, being able to deal in hard money, Americans can't do it. And I don't think that very many other people in the world can either. Now, if you'd like to learn how, then what you need is this gold-silver manual. It's titled, Why Silver Will Outperform Gold 400%, and contains the professional trading secrets that will make the most of your silver and gold investments. It's published by Franklin Sanders and The Money Changer. The telephone number is 888-218-9226. The Money Changer is located at Post Office Box 178 in West Point, Tennessee. The zip code 38486. That phone number again, 888-218-9226. Now the price is $54. It lists for $199, but if you'll tell them that you heard it here, I just called Franklin a few minutes ago. The list price is $199. That's for non-subscribers. For subscribers to the Money Changer, the price is $49 plus shipping and handling. And he said that for the listeners of the Law Hour, he would extend that same price. Now, I would also recommend that you subscribe to the Money Changer. It's an economic newsletter, economics newsletter, based upon buying and selling and trading gold and silver. And Franklin Sanders has written a manual to explain to his readers how to make profit off of that gold and silver that just lies there and does not draw interest. That's the biggest complaint that I hear. Gold and silver doesn't draw any interest. Well, I don't make any interest off of my gold and silver either, but I've never lost a dime dealing in gold and silver. In fact, I've done pretty well. And when I saw this book, I said to myself, this is the first trader that I have ever heard that has ever written a manual on how to trade in gold and silver and make a profit off of it. Now, dealers have been trading in gold and silver, making profit off of it for generations, probably thousands of years. But nobody ever writes a book and tells lay people how to do it until Sanders did. And I thought, well, okay, the secret's out, so why not share it? So remember, the concept that gold and silver does not make profit is 100% true when you deal in soft money, paper money, and when you buy and sell gold and silver based upon paper value rather than weights and measures. Now, if you're going to buy and sell gold and silver based upon paper profits, I don't know, that's kind of dicey. If you buy gold and silver called physicals and take physical possession. Now, I have physical possession of gold and silver that I bought 20 years ago. I have silver in my physical possession that I paid 10 Federal Reserve notes per ounce for. Never lost a dime on it. I still have physical possession. I still got the silver. Had I bought silver futures for $10 and the prices went down to $3.50 or $4, then I've lost $6. I've got physical possession. It doesn't make any difference what the value is. It's how many actual ounces of gain do you make? And I have many more ounces of silver today than I had 20 years ago. I have many more ounces of gold today than I had 20 years ago. Now, that's called arbitrage. That's what we're talking about here. Now, another example of arbitrage over time is found in the way that U.S. 90% silver coin behaves. Now, one major impetus to silver investing was the U.S. government's decision to remove silver from its coinage in 1965. Y2K came along and changed silver and silver value about 1999. Now, the next time the public comes pressing into the silver market, our arbitrage strategies have only one goal, and then always increase the number of ounces that you hold, whether it's gold or silver. Sometimes we do that in one step by swapping from one temporarily overvalued form of silver to another, sometimes in two steps by swapping gold to silver, then back to gold again. The price of gold or silver in paper dollars really never enters into our decision. We aim merely at increasing the number of ounces that we hold over the life of the bull market, and I call it buy and trade. We're not interested in values, we are interested in ounces. We're not interested in value, we're interested in weights and measures. That's arbitrage. Arbitrage in gold and silver. Hey, I'm out of time. I'll be back again tomorrow night, and we'll talk some more about this thing of gold and silver and how to profit from gold and silver that doesn't make any money because it doesn't produce any interest. All right, you've been listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week in the United States and worldwide on the Internet. For more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to the website. It's georgegordon.org. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school. It's open to individuals by pre-arrangement. And the Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. So for more information, just go to the homeschooling page on the website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour is carried worldwide on the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. Hey, there's my signal. Time's up. See you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station, of course, God willing. So until then, good night, friends.